Let's see what I brought today. Oh, yes. You guys know what this is? Can you tell what this is? It's a belt. What kind of belt is it? You recognize it? No? You know what this would hold? It usually holds a lightsaber. Yeah. Now you know what it is. Yeah, this is a Jedi belt. It goes with a Jedi costume for people in my house that might dress up like a Jedi every once in a while. That might be. Yeah, this is a Jedi belt, and kind of completes the costume. If you're part of the 501st, it's required to have a Jedi belt that has little baubles and things on it like this. Kind of like a Batman belt, for some of you who know Batman. It has the gadgets and all that kind of stuff on it that you would carry that a Jedi would carry. Food capsules, lightsabers. Usually has pouches. I didn't bring all the pouches and stuff with it. But it completes the costume, keeps the tunic together, and that sort of thing. It allows him to carry some stuff. Kind of important for a Jedi to have his belt, right? If he didn't have his belt, his costume wouldn't be complete, right? He wouldn't be able to carry his lightsaber, stuff like that. It's important. That's what I'm getting at. The belt's important. Okay. But we also have some other belts that we wear today, right? Not everybody, we don't always go around wearing a nice Batman belt with all our gadgets on it, or in this case, a Jedi belt. But we have other belts that we wear, probably like a D-ring belt. At the time, I thought it was a leather belt. It's not a leather belt after I bought it. Belts that we wear today. And we wear belts today for specific reasons. Mostly men wear belts today for specific reasons. Why do we wear belts? Keep your pants up, right? Yeah. When I was younger, when I was Elias's age, I was about his width. And it's hard to find pants and that would fit my waist because I weighed nothing. And so belts were important. And if I didn't wear a belt, pants would fall down. What happens when your pants fall down? It's embarrassing, right? It's embarrassing. Belts are important. Right? Belts are important. And it's important. And what we're talking about when we talk about the armor of God, we're talking about the belt of truth. And the belt of truth is an important piece because truth is important. Right? And there's a couple different kinds of truth that we think about. When we think about being truthful, when we think about being honest, right, that's important to relationships. Right, to tell the truth, that's important to keep our relationships good. We don't want you don't normally friends or married to or like somebody that lies to you all the time. Right? Truth is important in that situation. But truth for us as Christians is also important because we hold to the truth. Right? We say that the Word of God is truth. And truth to us is important because we want to make sure that we're following God correctly. We want to make sure that we are basing our beliefs off of truth, that we stand on the truth. And that's important because if ever we weren't doing that, then we believe that our proverbial pants would fall down, right? I mean, that's what it's for. It's to hold up. We hold our faith based on truth. And that truth is very important, just like a belt, just like this completes the Jedi costume, right? Just like our belts that we wear today hold our pants up, the truth holds up our faith. We have it based on something very important. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Fred as we head out the door for
Junior. Thank you, brother. Great. Good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. I reached over and shook Elizabeth's hand this morning, and she says, I wish we had all those people we had here last week. Man, me too. It was great last week. It's so great to see a full house. And thanks, it takes a lot of people to put that together. A lot of people. I know that Rosie had her team, Tricia had her team, the praise band, so many others. And in fact, this week, Don Ralston sent me a list of all the people that we should be thanking. And I'm thinking, I don't want to even begin that list. You know, there are so many, many people. And what happens if you overlook somebody? And in that list, he included Millie three times. I don't know, But we want to thank everybody who had a part in that. Brenda Holmes took a lot of pictures. You can see the pictures out there on the table. If you want to go look through some of the pictures, she posted them on Facebook as well. So a lot of great photos that were taken. We appreciate that so very much. We are continuing or picking up again the series Prepare for War. And today we're talking about the belt of truth. We're beginning now to talk about the armor of God. For the past few lessons in this series, you know, we began by looking at the battle, and we began by looking at the soldier, and that's you and me. And now we're going to take a look at the armor, the pieces of armor that's listed here. So I want you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to begin again with verse 10. All the way through the first part of verse 14. The Apostle Paul writes, he said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against" who? "The devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Tomorrow, America will celebrate its 246th year. And since 1775, the year before the Declaration of Independence was signed, America has been in 12 major wars. From the American Revolutionary War to the Iraq War, the War on Terror. It is estimated that in all total, 1,197,000 American troops have died in war fighting for our nation's independence, and tens of thousands more were wounded. However, the greatest number of casualties worldwide are not the result of fighting an enemy that we can see, but fighting against the invisible forces of darkness led by Satan, the prince of this world. Millions upon millions of people have already lost this war, and that all started when Satan, in a form of a serpent, tempted Adam and Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. And that spiritual warfare has waged on ever since, from that first sin, you know, claiming countless of numbers of souls as it waged on. Now, here is the Apostle Paul. He tells us here that he commands the Ephesian church, and not only the Ephesian church, but the church throughout all ages, therefore, that we are to put on the full armor of God and prepare for war. And as Paul writes this letter to the church at Ephesus, he is in Rome under house arrest, awaiting to be tried for preaching Jesus as the Christ. And he was not only, you know, chained to two Roman guards around the clock, but certainly he had plenty of opportunities to be able to see the Roman soldiers in full armor, in full war gear, as they were being deployed out to squelch the many battles and skirmishes that came against Rome. And at this time, the Roman army, was considered the most superior of all armies. And although many enemies tried to overthrow Rome, they soon realized that they were coming against a seemingly invincible force. And the army, their armor, and their weaponry had much to do with that. So Paul takes a soldier's armor and he gives it a spiritual application. And the Roman soldier's armor may have been great protection, you know, for him out on the battlefield, but it did nothing to protect him from Satan's attacks. And again, that's why Paul said that we are to put on God's armor, the full armor of God. And we start in verse 14 with the belt of truth buckled around our waist. I was always curious. Let's go put up that slide, if you will, please, Janine. I was always curious about why the first piece of armor listed was a belt. I was just kind of curious. As a kid, hearing my Bible class teacher and the preacher, you know, talk about this passage, I thought to myself, man, forget the belt. I'm going for the shield and the sword. You know, I don't need a belt, you know. But the belt worn by the soldier was the anchor that held most of the armor in place. I mean, the belt held the soldier's sword and other weapons securely to his side for fast and easy access. It held the breastplate in place so that it would not shift during the heat of the battle, leaving him vulnerable. The soldier was able to tie up his tunic in the belt so he would be free to run and jump, you know, without his legs being encumbered. And so that combat belt, man, I wish I could have a Jedi belt. That was pretty cool. But that combat belt was the anchor, the stabilizer for the rest of the armor, helping the soldiers to stand firm while under attack. And church, that's what truth does. It becomes our anchor in a culture of compromise. A culture that says anything and everything goes. And without truth to anchor us, everything else will fall apart. Amen? Everything falls apart. So my question I want to ask this morning is this. Why do we need truth? And I want to look at just two answers. Number one is this. First of all, the devil is a liar. Will you say that with me? The devil is a liar. I mean, deception is the number one hallmark of Satan. And regarding the devil, Jesus tells us in John 8, verse 44, he says, there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. John 8, verse 44. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, he says, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. I mean, he makes things look so good and wonderful and great and joyful and happy, all those things, but yet he is a liar. In fact, Paul tells us earlier in that chapter, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, he says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so Satan, the angel of light, blinds people from seeing the light of the gospel. The devil is a liar. And the world is in a mess because we have believed the devil's lies. Again, it all started in the Garden of Eden when Satan tempted Adam and Eve. When he lied to Eve, Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. I mean, God told Adam and Eve that they could eat the fruit from any tree. You could have fruit from any tree in this vast garden, except one. Everything else is yours to enjoy. But there's one tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You cannot eat of that tree. And then God gave them this warning if they disobeyed. In Genesis 2, verse 17, he says, when you eat of it, you will surely die. And then comes Satan, you know, in the form of a serpent, lying to Eve, you will not surely die. And Eve took the fruit and ate it, gave some to her husband Adam. He ate it. And so, but God, keeping his promise because he's truthful, drove Adam and Eve out of the garden, and the dying process began both physically and spiritually. And friends, we now live in a fallen world because Adam and Eve rejected God's truth and believed Satan's lies. Let's fast forward to our time. We have seen in the last half of the 20th century to the present that there has been a systematic assault on truth. First of all, we see this assault on truth in our government. For 49 years, abortion advocates have been able to perpetuate the lie, first instigated by the U.S. Supreme Court that passed Roe versus Wade in 1973, that a fetus is not a person. And since that time, millions of unborn babies have been aborted by women believing that lie. You know, believing the lie that what was being mercilessly removed from their bodies was not a person, but according to Planned Parenthood, a lump of cells. I mean, thank God Roe v. Wade has been overturned. But the abortion lie is still being espoused by pro-choice activists and government leaders who are now putting pressure on states to pass the law to offer abortion up to birth. I mean, I guess a baby forming in its mother's womb for 9 months is not a person either. And I've heard the latest that there are some senators who are trying to pass the law that since states can completely abolish abortion in their states, that they are trying to set up abortion clinics on federal land, such as national parks. Did you hear that this last week? And so Satan continues with his lies. Also, another lie that is being taught in public schools across this nation and promoted by many in our government is that gender identity and transitioning, teaching preschool, starting preschool, before they even become into kindergarten, starting preschool on up, that they are promoting the lie that if they don't like being a boy or a girl, they can change it. Or they can be both. And so we continue to hear these lies. These are not truths substantiated by God's word. And sadly, we see this assault on truth in the church. According to the Barna Research Group, Barna Group is a Christian research organization. According to their study, they said that 40% of the Christians surveyed do not believe that Satan is a real being, but only a symbol of evil. Over half, 53%, of those professing to be Christians believe that hell is not a real place. And maybe that explains why 54% of Christians surveyed believe that homosexuality is not a sinful relationship and should be accepted. And yet all of these beliefs are lies that contradict the clear teachings of God's Word. And either we believe the truth of God's Word or we believe the father of lies. We can't have it both ways. We can't have it both ways. And just because we want something to be true does not make it true. And I know it's hard. It's hard, especially regarding some teachings of the Bible that directly affect our family and our friends, such as homosexuality. I have a nephew that I love dearly. He and his sister and brother spent their summers with Brendan and me and our girls while they were growing up. In fact, he was here last year for my son's celebration of life service, comforting my family. He and his little brother flew up here from Dallas to be with us. Last month, he and his longtime boyfriend went to Las Vegas and got married. His marriage to this man does not. Now I want you to understand this. His marriage to this man does not diminish my love for him at all. I love my nephew. I love him deeply. But he is well aware that I cannot approve that sinful relationship. And he's a baptized believer. He knows what God's Word says about homosexuality and the eternal outcome for those who live in that sinful lifestyle and simply refuse to repent. We've had that discussion. And as much as I love my nephew and would like to celebrate with him in his happiness, I cannot change the truth of God's Word even if I wanted to, and neither can you. We can't change it. And by the way, any sexual relationship outside of marriage between a husband and wife is equally sinful with the same eternal consequences. Read 1 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. And yes, I have family in those relationships too. But I can't change God's Word for those people, my family. I can't. And I love them. And I pray for them. And I beg them to come back to God. Repent. Come back to God. I beg them. But Satan is behind all these lies. And I'm sure you can add more to it. But he is the master deceiver. And just like he did Eve, Satan convinces the world, convinces the church, convinces you and me that God really didn't mean that. I mean, that's what he said, but that's not what he means. And he twists the truth, and he makes the lie so appealing, so caring, so loving, so Christ-like. And yet God, through Solomon, says this, Proverbs 14, verse 12. He said, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." But I want us to look at some common lies that Satan wants you to believe. First of all is this. The first lie is this. I know in my heart that it's true. You ever heard that before? I just know. I know in my heart that it's true. And these so-called truths are based on our feelings. I don't feel this is wrong. I mean, this makes me feel very happy, so I know God's got to be behind it. I feel that what was sin in the first century is no longer sin today in today's culture. I know this is true because I feel it in my heart. But yet God, through the prophet Jeremiah, and Jeremiah 17, verse 9, said this. He said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" God says, our feelings can never be the anchor of truth because they are always changing. I mean, what I feel is true today may be very different tomorrow. It's always changing. Truth never changes. It never changes. The second lie that Satan wants us to believe is this, that everybody has their own truth. I mean, Satan wants us to believe that there are no absolutes, that truth is relevant. And since there are no absolute truths, everything goes. No sin, no immorality, no judgment. I mean, you just do you. You do you. If it feels good, do it. Define your own truth. Have you heard those statements before? You know, I mean, we hear it all the time. However, if there is no one who really believes practically that there are no absolutes. Nobody really believes that. I mean, would you let a surgeon take out your appendix if he didn't believe in absolutes? Because the moment, you know, he puts the scalpel to your throat and says, "Since there are no absolutes, it really doesn't matter where I cut," you're coming off that operating table. You're not going to stick around. If you are flying from Indianapolis to Dallas and your pilot, before taking off, comes over the PA system and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen,
Thank you for flying with us today. I know that your destination is to Dallas, Texas, but since there is no absolute way to get there, I am setting the plane on autopilot, and whenever I start running out of fuel, that's where I'm going to land. I mean, there will be a mass exodus from that plane. Satan wants us to believe that there are no absolute moral and spiritual truths. And sadly, not only does the world believe that, but so do many Christians. They have been duped into believing that same lie as well. A third lie that Satan wants us to believe is this, that all roads lead to God. I mean, one of Satan's greatest deceptions is leading people to believe that Christians are nothing more than narrow-minded bigots. And by standing firm in our faith, there will be those who will say to the Christian, why do you have to be that way? Why are you so narrow-minded? Why are you a hater? And some will point to other religions and say, what makes Christianity the only faith accepted by God? I think there are many, many paths to heaven. I think people call God by different names. You know, Vishnu, Allah. You call him Jesus, that's okay. But I believe and I think and I feel that all roads lead to God. And it sounds tolerant, it sounds broad-minded, it sounds judgmental, but the problem is, brother and sister, it is not truth. It is not truth. And by definition, if something is true, then something has to be false. And if you believe in everything, then you believe in nothing. So why do we need truth? Secondly, because Jesus is truth. Say this with me. Jesus is truth. I mean, Jesus, as the living Word, is truth. If you believe that, will you raise your hand? Okay. We believe that, don't we? And although Satan wants us to believe the lie that all roads lead to God, that is not what Jesus says. I mean, just shortly before being crucified, going to the cross, Jesus gathers his disciples together, and he says in John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Friends, we cannot get to heaven through anyone or anything else but Jesus, no matter what the lie that we have been told. Only Jesus will get us there. We cannot get there through Buddha or Muhammad or the Pope or Max Lucado or any other religious leader. We are not going to get there through Grandma who never missed a Sunday worship. We are not going to get to heaven by our own goodness. It doesn't matter what I feel or what I think or what I hope to be true. Only by accepting Jesus, the Son of God, as our Lord and Savior, and submitting our lives to Him, will we be able to enter heaven. I mean, see, that's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why He went to the cross. I appreciate what Phil said earlier, that Christianity is the only religion, of all the world religions, the only one that has an empty tomb. The only one. And yet, Jesus, just shortly before He went to the cross, tells the disciples in this same chapter, John chapter 14, verse 2, He says, I am going to prepare a place for you. And that preparation for a home in heaven began with Jesus shed blood on the cross. Truth is not based upon my personal likes, feelings, or beliefs, but on the person of Jesus who shed His blood for you and me. I mean, culture Culture says that there are many ways to God, but Jesus says, no, I am the way, the truth, the life, and you can't get to him except through me. And friends, that is an absolute truth claim. That's absolute truth. All right? That is absolute truth. It's made by Jesus. It's in the Word of God. And we either believe Jesus or we believe the Father of lies. And since Jesus is truth, then his Word is truth. This is truth. It's truth. And yet I have heard some Christians, you know, say, well, I believe some of the Bible, but I don't believe all of it. And again, that's exactly what Satan, the father of lies, wants you to believe and think. I mean, he wants us to kind of pick and choose the parts of God's Word that we want to follow and discard the rest. Let's see here. Let me see. I always like the passage about love. What, you know, how we are to love one another and how important that is that we love one another, you know. And so we get out the Word of God and we read, you know, okay, oh, Jesus. But I tell you, who hear me? Love. Oh, I love that word. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. I don't like that part. Let's just scratch that. Let's see here. Grace. Oh, I love grace. I love Romans because Paul talks a lot about grace in the book of Romans. Let's see here. Romans, where does he say? Romans 5. Oh, yeah, listen to this. The law was added, that old law. It was added so that the trespasses might increase, that our sins might increase. But where sin increased, listen to this, folks. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Man, I love that passage. That it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how I sin, because grace is going to take care of it. Let's turn the page. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. I don't like that one, so let's scratch that one, you know. And this is kind of how we do it. This is kind of the way we are, where we just begin to pick and choose what we want to believe. But is that what Scripture says? No, if you read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 through 17, the very last letter that Paul writes, Paul begins in this verse, all Scripture, say that with me, all Scripture, not just some of it, but all Scripture is God-breathed, it is inspired by God, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture. Friends, God is the one who created us, and he knows what will bring us the greatest joy and freedom to our lives. And it's all right here in his Word. In fact, I want you to look what Jesus says about, turn to John chapter 8, if you will, please. This is what Jesus says about truth. John chapter 8. I want you to look at verses 31 and 32. It says here, John writes, to the Jews who had believed, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, not just believe it, but if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Do you remember when we began this series, we talked about what it means to be a true disciple? It's those who hold to the teachings of Christ. And then in verse 32 he says, and then you will know the what? And the truth will do what? He says, if you believe my teachings, if you hold to my teachings, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Satan is the one who wants to keep us enslaved. He's the one who wants us to go to hell. And sadly, there will always be those, even in the church, who will listen and obey the father of lies over the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So my question for you today is this. Are you standing in truth? Because really that's what it's about, isn't it? Excuse me, I'm going to have to get a drink of water. Are you standing firm in the truth? So we don't have to guess what truth is. All we have to do is just open our Bibles and read it. Now we may want to twist it around a little bit. And we will be talking to God about that one day. But we got to realize that God's Word is true. And it is written for us to read it, to understand it, to obey it. And so that's why we need to put on that belt of truth. Because without the belt of truth being our anchor, we will fall for anything. It's only for us who truly stand firm in what the Bible teaches and God's truth, God's Word, will we be able to face whatever it is that Satan will try to destroy us with. Let's stand for truth. Amen? We're going to be singing an invitation song. This invitation song is it's just an opportunity for you to kind of take a look at your own life and your own heart. And you know, if there's something there that you want us to pray for, we want to pray for it. If there's something there that that you want to know or even confess, whatever it is that's going through your heart, whatever it is that we want to be able to bring this up before God and talk to Him about it, we want to pray for you this morning. Whatever that need might be, whatever struggle you may be going through, whatever it is, we want to pray for you this morning because God loves you. I mean, He loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. That is the greatest love of all, isn't it? That He let His Son die in our place so that we could have eternal life with Him. And so He, through Jesus, we have, He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Will you come this morning if we can pray for you, if we can help you in any way, as together we sit and we sing. God sent